Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrandt. I am joined, as always, by my good friend, my co-host, my colleague of many years, a gentleman by the fine name of Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
Good. You forgot to use my other title that I've asked you multiple times to use, and that is extremely passionate Penn State fan, Dan Rubenstein.
Is that true?
I have no choice. Otherwise, I'd have to root for Oregon, and it hurts so much.
Well, we'll get to your reverbs here momentarily. Got a bunch of really awesome calls this week.
Sure.
And Taylor did a great job putting them together. So we'll play that momentarily. Also got some tweets and some snaps that came through, which I will allude to, which I will reference as we go through our week 10 recap here, Dan. But what'd you think? Week 10?
Week 10. Going in, we didn't think it was the deepest week of intrigue. Obviously, the headliner was LSU-Bama, Ohio State-Nebraska, and both of those games disappointed in their own fun ways. But hey, we're down a playoff team, which was the literal most expected thing to happen, because the playoff teams just never stay static with those four that are selected in week one of it. The Pac-12 South and the Pac-12 in general is the Big Ten is in general. The ACC in general is. I'm just making sounds here, Ty. SEC East is. and the Big 12 is. So now we're a Mountain West show, and let's just go through there.
I was at the Lehigh game.
Yeah, yesterday. That's right. How'd that go?
It was awesome. It was awesome. And I will say, way more enjoyable than any of the early games. It was actually a really good game.
Did you bring security?
No, I didn't. I didn't bring security, but it was a good football game. They were down like 13-7 at half, and then second half, they kind of turned it around, but improved to 5-0 in the Pat League, won the league title. Mm-hmm. I was on the field during the trophy presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting day.
Would you like to start where we should obviously start, and that's in rowing the boat, Western Michigan 52, Ball State 20.
Let's start with those reverbs, okay?
Okay, fine.
408 Verbal 1, take it away, our good friend Taylor from Talking Terps.
Well, congratulations to the Texas A&M Aggies, the one true 2016 Week 10 number 4 team in the country. Nobody can ever take that away from us.
This is Aaron calling from the middle of Nebraska.
This is Marcus calling from Belmopan, Belize.
Hey, it's Mike, the Crimson Tider in Toronto.
G'day, guys. This is Andrew calling from Melbourne, Australia.
I don't know if it takes longer to cook Cajun, but 25 total yards in the second half for LSU. That's some sweet defense or a Cajun crock pot. Roll Tide.
Just watching Bama's crock pot click over the warm mode and... that is clearly rendered. Who knew that Tigers were so well marbled?
I just watched my Crimson Tide win a knife fight in a phone booth.
What was your favorite score of the first half of Alabama-LSU?
What was your favorite LSU punt in this game?
I just want to say thank you. Tyler's blatant disregard of the Mississippi State A&M game was reverse things enough for the Bulldogs, and we'll take it.
A battered Aggie checking in. With my playoff dreams dying as quickly as they were born.
You talk to your kids about secretly garbage Texas A&M.
November is coming and you doubted him, Dan and Ty.
In case there were still any doubters, remember, the 5th of November.
Texas is back to over 500.
I gotta be honest with you. Texas Tech is hot garbage, and obviously Texas is at least very warm garbage.
I know it. Very, very strong.
I had a garbage week, but it all was worth it for this one glorious moment. And I just wanted to give a shout out to the Frogs. Amen. God bless.
Baylor, the college football gods are angry with you.
Fire everyone!
I was also at the 6-4 Penn State-Iowa game in 2004, and I couldn't be happier that less than 5 minutes into the second quarter, the Lions have already surpassed the combined point total from that abomination.
Yay! Wisconsin made a field goal. Let's see if they can open up this tough can of peanut butter for Grandma next.
Saquon Barkley for Heisman.
Just watch my Hawkeyes get destroyed by Penn State. They have to play Michigan next week. The Ann Arbor Ruth Chris is probably stocking up on some staves now.
Just got done watching Michigan and Maryland. DJ Durkin, don't take it personal. You just left Jim Harbaugh, and he gets a little upset.
The question for tonight is Mike Leach going to dedicate tonight's win to Geronimo, Attila, or Genghis Khan?
All I got to say is, Ronald Jones, stop, stop, he's already dead.
Why does Brian Kelly trust the defense? They've cheated on him so many times this year.
I just saw that incredible play by Equanimeous St. Brown. I just wanted to say that I thought it was funny that Notre Dame has the player this year most likely to be featured in a Key and Peele sketch.
I'm ringing up to say that they should save time and money and post Louisville's Lamar Jackson his Heisman Trophy right now. Why wait? He's got it in the bag.
My dear Susan, today we were defeated. General Trubisky unleashed Lieutenant Elijah Hood's rushing attack and beat me at my own game. All my love, Paul Johnson.
All right, great calls. Thank you.
Spicy.
Thank you again. 408-VERBAL-1, 408-837-2251. I had the opportunity this morning of looking out to see what the landscape looks like in week 11, in week 12, really until week 13. I feel we're going to be relying a lot on these calls to get us through, to provide ample motivation to do this show on a Sunday morning, because the meaningful college football games are few and far between over the next 2 weeks.
Did you look at next week? Ooh, man, Washington, USC. And I guess that's it. That's it.
Save us, Ole Miss, Texas A&M. You're our only hope.
Oh, God, no, please do not.
Save us, LSU, Arkansas. You're our only hope.
Oh,
really? Save us, Cal, Wazoo. You're our only hope.
Okay, that game's going to end up 77-70, maybe. There's something there. You want to start with LSU, Bama?
Yes, let's do it.
Ty, quick question. Throughout this game, what is it that you would say people that are fans of one offense, and specifically what Danny Etling felt in terms of his offensive line attempting to protect him from the Bama front? Would you say it was pain, Ty?
Pain. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm assuming you watched all, if not almost all, of this game.
I fell asleep.
So you did watch this game.
I did watch this game. I had a long day. I mentioned I was out at Lehigh. I was celebrating a birthday. I watched some of the Penn State game with friends. I came home second half, Alabama, LSU, and fell asleep. Lay down on the couch, out cold.
Is that your full summary of this game?
We said it was going to be low scoring, and it was. Depending on your perspective, it was either a classic defensive slugfest or a straight up snooze fest. And for me, it was a snooze fest. I fell asleep here.
I can't imagine people are going to be riding for this being a defensive slugfest like they did a few years ago in the 9-6 game, just because it was a true freshman quarterback in the Purdue transfer. So in terms of throwing ability, it's not like these two quarterbacks coming in had a degree of confidence that they were anywhere approaching NFL caliber right now. So it's not as if we can say these two defenses shut down two good quarterbacks. We can't in earnest say that with any degree of confidence right now. It was 0-0 until the fourth quarter, correct?
Yeah, yep.
So no scoring until the fourth quarter. That's a bummer of a game, especially and game. Defensively, it's great defense. It's great. But in terms of an entertainment product, that's a bummer. And then when you couple that with CBS going to commercial every 3 minutes for 2 or 3 minutes on end, so no offense and a ton of commercials, not great. I put this game in the picture, inside the picture, in my TV. I just, why would you devote your full screen to this? Unless you're an Alabama or LSU fan, it's not worth it. I just sort of scanned. I went USC, Oregon. I went Ohio State, Nebraska, which was also a garbage game in its own way. But I just scanned a bunch of the games, and I would come back to this game whenever I'd see a team in the other team's territory or something like that. Just because it,
yeah.
And honestly, you like to see a push and pull. And I know some people say things like, well, I'd much rather see this kind of matchup than like a 58-55 Texas Tech-Oklahoma game. Cool. That's fine. They're half games in their own way, but at least there's like some sort of action and drama to that Big 12 game rather than we cannot do anything on one side of the ball.
Well, LSU was held to 125 total yards, 4 of 15 on third downs. They had just 6 total first downs the entire game. So clearly a dominant defensive effort for Alabama.
Unbelievable, yeah.
The difference, though, was that Alabama was able to get some production out of its ground game. And LSU wasn't. Between Jalen Hurts and Damien Harris and Bo Scarborough, Bama had 219 yards on the ground. For LSU, Leo Fournett,
oh, I feel bad, man.
Held to just 35 yards and 17 carries. That's it and that's all, man. That's what it comes down to. If you're relying on Danny Etling, this is what I said in the preview. If you're going to rely on Danny Etling, and believe me, I'm a fan of the Purdue takeover, but his QBR, according to ESPN, was 5.7.
5.7.
Now, I don't even know what QBR means, but 5.7 feels low to me. And if you watch the game, you can see pretty much why.
It's quit Baton Rouge, by the way.
Whatever it means, 10-0 Alabama is all you need to take away from this game. Obviously, the start of something here, as my initial instinct was to go LSU, I said, well, we got to go Bama. If every instinct I've had has been wrong, the opposite would have to be right.
Seinfeld, Costanza.
Alabama minus 7.5. Circle gets the square, baby. Okay.
In all fairness to what is a good point from you, it's not counting on Danny Etling as much as it is counting on the passing game of LSU. And included in that is the offensive line, which gave him not much in the way of time. But also included that is Danny Etling, who missed throws, missed opportunities. And we talked about this and we agreed on this beforehand in this game. If LSU can't get an intermediate pass game going, 8-yard hitches, you know, slants that go for 13, something like that, they're going to lose. Leonard Fournette cannot do it against 8-9 man boxes. As good and as physically talented as he is, there has to be some semblance of balance.
Yeah.
And 0 points and something like 300 yards in 2 years of games against Alabama, it's not going to cut it.
No, it isn't. All right. My favorite tweet of the day came from Nathan Fletcher.
Okay.
Who wanted to know if Ed Orgeron's a secret Just for Men user. Quote, ooh, that hair is as dark as Notre Dame's season.
Grecian formula, yeah.
Which was a great line. At some point, maybe on Wednesday, I want to get into the article penned by our friend Stephen Godfrey, who threw out Jimbo Fisher, Tom Herman, Jim Mora, and Dana Holgorsen as potentially on the short list for that LSU job, not counting Coach O. We'll get to that on Wednesday. But in the interim, we did have a nice win here for Alabama. Not easy on the eyes, but 10-0 is going to keep you undefeated. And definitely keep the Crimson Tide number one overall in that playoff ranking on Tuesday.
Yeah, and sort of a garbage day just in terms of entertainment and hierarchy for the SEC in general. Texas A&M, playoff team.
Yeah.
No longer.
Remember that uproar on Tuesday night? The Aggies are fourth and, oh my, deep breath. Everybody in and out.
That also describes Mississippi State's running game against Texas A&M's front. In and out. Just in and out. In and out. In and
out. What a better way to showcase to the playoff committee that you are legit than by losing to a 5-loss Mississippi State team on the road, Dan. Let me preface my comments by mentioning that Trevor Knight did go down in the first half in this game with a right shoulder injury.
Was he good while in, though?
No.
No.
He did some nice things running the football, had like 5 carries for 50 some odd yards and a touchdown.
Great.
But in terms of actually throwing the football, no, he was not good at all. Jake Hubenak came in and actually did, I think, a better job throwing the football. He had to because they were playing from behind most of the game. But the difference in this game, as I see it, was twofold. Yeah. First, A&M had zero answer for Nick Fitzgerald.
That's absolutely correct, yeah. I mean, they picked him a couple times. Through the air, he was kind of pedestrian, but on the ground, no, not at all.
Yeah, 20 carries, 182 yards. He had four total touchdowns in this game, both running and throwing. The bigger issue, though, was really the fact that Mississippi State beat him up in the trenches, man.
100%.
They beat him up on offense. They beat him up on defense. I did not expect this kind of showing, particularly by that Mississippi State offensive line here, because we've talked so much this year about A&M and what they do along the line, and they got beat up. I don't know if maybe they're running out of gas here or what, but they got beat up. No two ways about it.
Yeah, that coupled with play calling from Texas A&M offensively, some just weird calls in big spots, and the fact that, as you alluded to, Texas A&M, much like last year, with all that defensive speed and talent and anger and swarming ability, they just don't have it against the run. And oddly enough, even at LSU, John Chavis, his last couple years, and I don't know if this coincides with running quarterbacks in the SEC, if it was the sort of Johnny Manzielization of the SEC, you know, seeing Ole Miss go to more mobile quarterbacks. There is something about these past few John Chavis defenses that get after the quarterback and not so much with running backs in the rush game. So Texas A&M, once again, struggling, just getting completely pushed around up front. And what was the final yardage total for Mississippi State?
I don't even have that.
Over 350, 6 yards a carry, yeah.
It was impressive. 35-28, by the way, your final here, Mississippi State wins the game. I am interested to see now how this plays out for A&M moving forward, because these are the types of losses that can deflate you. Late in the year, college football comes at you fast. It can spin out in a hurry. And next week, what, Ole Miss got LSU on Thanksgiving. Curious to see if they're running out of juice or not.
That November goodness from Kevin Sumlin in Texas A&M. Christian Kirk was an A+.
Yeah.
Everything went wrong for Texas A&M. Christian Kirk was an A+.
Speaking of November.
What?
Borderline erotic.
What?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Borderline erotic.
Arkansas 31, Florida 10, Dan.
Yeah. SEC East really coming through.
Guess who just got murdered?
Guess who just got
murdered? Florida and the SEC East got murdered, Dan. Remember how I said on paper? On paper, it looked like Florida. They're going to grind it out. They're gonna run it with Jordan Scarlett. They're going to win with defense.
Yeah.
Florida had 12 yards on 14 carries on the ground, Dan. And on top of that, Luke Del Rio threw two picks. This was now the fourth consecutive game in which Florida had less than 250 total yards of offense. Also of note, Raleigh Williams III had 148 yards, two touchdowns on the ground for Arkansas. The perception that I had, that we had, that a lot of people had, that the wheels came off the Arkansas season after losing their third game by 53 points to Auburn, seems to be a bit of a mirage, because this is still apparently a pretty good team. They took the bye week to work some stuff out. They got a big game next week against LSU that I think is probably going to define their season to some degree. But a 21-point win here at home against Florida is not only a big deal for them, but also a big deal for me. It's a big deal for me going reverse, going opposite.
That's true.
The opposite of every instinct must be correct. And didn't question it. Didn't think
You're
twice.
Right.
Just went Arkansas +5.5 at home. And not only my home dog of the week, but a straight up winner here. So good for them.
Florida did not quite rush for a fruit by the foot. Right? Aren't they 3 feet long? Florida rushed for two and change feet per carry. We should have been worried when we were starting to think and say things like, well, Florida might be all right once they get Luke Del Rio back. That's the big thing. Once you get Luke Del Rio back, if that's what you're counting on, that's a problem.
Yeah. Oof.
I don't know what it is about November or Novembert, but Arkansas, they didn't have to rely on the passing game. Raleigh Williams, as you mentioned, came through, and Florida, they did not have an offensive touchdown in this game. It was a pick six, was their lone score. And they just, as well as the rest of the SEC East, actually, no, let's give South Carolina credit. Most of the SEC East, not a great day. Vandy looked good for a half against Auburn, but, ooh, man.
There is a situation, by the way, in which South Carolina could still win the SEC East. Just saying.
Sure. A four-loss team could very well be in the SEC championship game.
A four-loss muddled mess scenario could put South Carolina in the SEC title game. But okay, Arkansas wins 31-10. We can rehash some of those other SEC games here a little bit later. But we do got to move on. A lot of other action.
Where are we going?
In the world of college football. I don't know. You want to go Big 12? You want to go Big 10? Where are we going?
Sure. Let's go Big Ten quickly. Ohio State and Michigan combined to allow their opponents 6 points.
Yes.
6 total points from two teams that are not bad, Maryland and Nebraska. Nebraska without Tommy Armstrong, and even with Tommy Armstrong, and we're elated to see that it was just a momentary horrific injury, that he has all movement, he came back to the game, and he is conscious, and everything is, on a human level, improving. Great.
Yes.
Nebraska was trash.
They got
and
murdered.
That was combined. They got murdered. That combined with a really impressive performance from Ohio State. Offensively, they opened up the playbook. They were able to generate some bigger plays. They got more creative, both with their play calling and with usage of players like Curtis Samuel. Defensively, their secondary is an offense. Their secondary is probably... I wonder who is going to score more points in the Big Ten. Is it going to be, per play, Ohio State secondary or just Michigan State, period? Just Michigan State, period. Ohio State looked crazy good in this game. And as we've talked about earlier, and I'm sure you have thoughts, when the luck runs out, that LRO team, it runs out demonstrably. We saw it with Tennessee. We're seeing it with Nebraska. And Nebraska's totally fine. They are pretty good still, but... my goodness, was it not their night?
Yeah. Holy cow, man. Well, this game was over at half, 31-3. Yeah. What else can you say here? I think you hit it on the head. JT Barrett looked pretty good. Curtis Samuel and Mike Weber. Everybody got in on the action for Ohio State as they win by 59. They've now got road games against Maryland and Michigan State before coming back home on Thanksgiving weekend to play Michigan. You mentioned Michigan for their part. Won by 56 over Maryland. They ran up 660 total yards. Clearly, those two teams are on a collision course. Penn State also got in on the fun. Didn't quite get to 600. They got to 599 total yards against a, I think, decent defense against Iowa. They have now scored on 14 of their last 18 offensive drives.
And I quote, "I think I just got to take the points, Dan. I've seen too many close Iowa-Penn State."
Now, hold on. I didn't go against my initial read here.
Right.
Because I still have scar tissue that I'm working out from that 2004 fiasco. As I mentioned to some gentleman on Twitter, I'm still paying off all the therapy sessions that game brought on. So I couldn't pick Penn State to cover, even if it meant the reverse jinx of a reverse jinx of whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But 41-14, Trace McSorley's been really comfortable now. Saquon Barkley had 211 total yards and looked good. Their defense was solid. They held Iowa, a running team, mind you, to 1.2 yards per carry in this football game.
Unreal.
We're now talking about a 7-2 probable top 10 team in Penn State, which is incredible to me. Not unforeseen that Penn State could find its way to the Rose Bowl. It's still on the table.
It would be, which I would have been shocked to hear myself say before the season started, it would be a surprise if Penn State does not go 10-2.
I would agree with that, yeah.
Indiana and Rutgers on the road and just an absolute trash Michigan State squad.
They are better than the remaining three teams on their schedule.
Demonstrably,
they should win. Yeah, they should win.
Can we pause and take a moment to say Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, man.
It's a rough year just because the running backs across, there are so many good running backs across the country to sort of say, yes, without a doubt, Saquon Barkley should be in New York at the Heisman Trophy presentation. But even if he's not, he takes a backseat to nobody in terms of running backs this year. Their offense becomes so much more dangerous when the defense has to say on every play, where is Saquon Barkley and where might he be? And that is a testament to how this offense has evolved, how Trace McSorley has taken advantage of defenses peeking at Saquon Barkley the whole time. Really fun to see Penn State moving on up very quickly.
Saquon is Shady McCoy, but with the higher top end speed.
Yes.
And I think a little less propensity to dance around in the backfield. He's a little bit more north-south of a runner.
Right.
As opposed to Shady, who, you know, was a little bit more east-west. So
we'll also mention Ty, and this is something that we won't get into until the spring, but man, Iowa's going to be on a lot of running back mixtapes come draft time.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at what Christian McCaffrey can do in the open. Let's take a look at Saquon Barkley and what he can do in the open field. Is he eligible? I don't even know. What year is Saquon Barkley?
He's a true sophomore.
But in the coming next couple of years,
yeah,
a lot of Iowa footage on the wrong side of draft mixtapes.
All right. You mentioned Michigan State. Illinois, yeah. 31, Michigan State 27. We talked a lot about my reverse jinx.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about your fantasy thing selection of Michigan State disrespect at this point?
We may.
What do we do here? Do we throw out the records or what?
First of all, mathematics just completely disrespecting Michigan State.
How do we score this? What does it count as? Because you can't respect Michigan State at this point.
You cannot. I think this has to, if it doesn't sweep for me the entire fantasy things draft, it has to cover a couple more categories worth, because the universe has disrespected Michigan State.
Do you get points each week now? How does this work?
I mean, would you say that Kendrick Foster disrespected Michigan State's defense? I would.
I guess.
Is it disrespectful for a quarterback to not complete 50% of his passes or average 5 yards per attempt?
But they're disrespecting themselves.
True.
I don't know.
Is the implication unjustified disrespect? That's the question.
Well, they lost by 4 to Illinois.
Yeah.
They're now tied with Rutgers at 0-6 in conference. They're 2-7 overall. Monster game this weekend, which honestly, the slate is so bad, we might have to cover it.
And Michigan State not going to a bowl for the first time in Mark D'Antonio's tenure.
Not going to a bowl. They play Rutgers and East Lansing this week, so we'll get a pretty good heads up look at which team is better. But best case scenario, they're finishing 3-9 because they're not beating Ohio State. They're not beating Penn State at this rate. Just a terrible season for the Spartans.
The good news for the Michigan State Rutgers game coming up is, even though I imagine the interest nationally is going to be pretty low, locally here in New York, people are going to be excited.
They're going to be lighting up the Empire State.
The ratings are going to be huge. Northeast ratings are going to be huge for this game. It has to be.
All right. Big 12.
Yeah.
Holy Toledo.
Guess who just got murdered?
TCU 62, Baylor 22.
Yep.
So look, I'm not big on inventing narratives. I hate when people do that, but I'm just going to throw a few things out there into the ether. You guys can decide for yourselves what you think, okay? Baylor's lost 2 in a row.
They have.
In this one, they gave up 62 and 688 yards.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing extremely undisciplined football. This was like the fourth time this year where they had more than 10 penalties and something like 121 penalty yards, which is like the most they had all year. Shock Linwood is pushing assistant coaches. Assistant coaches are still pushing the issue that Art Briles didn't do much wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Oklahoma, K-State, Texas Tech, and West Virginia on the schedule the next 4 weeks. I'm not saying, but if you want to say, I'll listen, that things could come off the swivel very quickly now for Baylor if we don't watch it. Is that fair to say?
Could?
I'm just saying.
Could operates in a hypothetical universe, Ty.
I'm just saying.
I could continue to, yes. Hey, hope all those people selling Coach Art Briles shirts outside of the stadium made a whole bunch of money for charity. I hope it was a charity drive situation. Somebody flew a CAB flag outside of a suite in Waco. Hope a bunch of money's going to charity. TCU played a complete and dominating and thorough game. Kenny Hill was very, very good, efficient. Kyle Hicks was an absolute monster on the ground. He has 5 touchdowns, rushes for almost 200 yards. The TCU defense was all over the damn place. They were just living in the backfield. How many turnovers did they have? TCU turned a really bad Baylor offense over. I guess they only turned it over once, but they were just swarming all over the place. Baylor was in every facet. I mean, 5 of 20 on third downs. It was just a day normal and reasonable Baylor fans should soon forget. It was real bad.
Elsewhere in the Big 12, both Oklahoma schools won. Oklahoma beat Iowa State on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Six wins in a row now for the Sooners. If you look at the final score, I think it probably makes it look closer than it was. Really just take out a rough second quarter and otherwise pretty dominant by Oklahoma over Iowa State, 34-24.
I will say, Dimitri Flowers, though, they leaned on their fullback without Samaje Perine and Joe Mixon and came through enough.
Oklahoma State won by six.
They did. Did you watch any of this?
I went back and watched highlights from this one. I didn't see it live, but this might have been one of the better games of the day. I was so happy that you tweeted out about K-State's offensive game plan. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, Bill Snyder's playbook.
What is this offense and how exactly does it work? Because I'm not sure I understand. It's like Mariano Rivera. Mariano Rivera had one pitch. And in particular, one pitch at one speed.
Mm-hmm.
And did it at a very high level for however many years. And he's a Hall of Fame closer for the New York Yankees. K-State does the same thing over and over again, running the quarterback. And they still are able to take a team like Oklahoma State to the wire. How do they do it?
Well, they were in that position because of some excellent special defense and special teams plays. They turned Oklahoma State over a good amount. They had nice returns. They recovered fumbles and picks and pick sixes, whatever. Kansas State put themselves in an all-purpose position to win this game against Oklahoma State at home. Ultimately, the Cowboys won it late, but Kansas State had their opportunities and came up a little bit short. But you're right, Kansas State doesn't do a whole lot. But what they do, they do it pretty well. Jesse Ertz rushes for 30 times, rushes 30 times for 150 yards. Oklahoma State ran it as a team 26 times. So Junkyard Jim Washington was real nice, had a great 82-yard
touchdown catch. You see that one?
Yeah, early on, he had a really nice touchdown catch. And also encouraging from Kansas State, Alex Barnes, the young running back, a really nice day, just was not leaned on like Jesse Ertz was leaned on. So Kansas State in position to take this, but Oklahoma State moves in our minds to 8-1.
Junkyard Jim. It was that big catch late that allowed them to get back within one score and win it.
Yep. And Oklahoma State coming up, they have Texas Tech, which they should win. It's at home. Texas Tech is a limited team, but does a certain number of things well. At TCU is going to be tough, and on the road for Bedlam is going to be very tough. So we shall see.
Texas 45, Texas Tech 37.
Woo!
Dan.
Woo!
Holy crap. Did you see Deontay Foreman?
Mm-hmm.
33 carries, 341 yards, three touchdowns.
Yes, I did.
Honestly, when he was running, it was debatable whether or not they were even trying to tackle him. There was so little resistance here.
Yeah, not a lot of defense. He averaged 10 yards per carry. Shane Bichelle was fine, nothing particularly special, especially downfield. Deonta Foreman is the story. The defense tightening up in the second half, only allowing 14 points. Charlie Strong did a nice job there. Pat Mahomes was fine. I don't think he threw it a ton, but didn't have a ton of success downfield.
Charlie Strong keep his job?
If they can close out the schedule, I think Charlie Strong keeps his job. That West Virginia game is going to be tough.
Zombie Charlie Strong, man.
Zombie Charlie Strong.
West Virginia 48, Kansas 21. No real takeaways here other than the picture that was sent to us about Dana Holgorsen's hair after they went up by 31.
Yeah.
Honestly, it looks a lot like Big Earn's hair from Kingpin.
Yeah, it's unintentional rat tail. It's not a great place, but it's entertaining. He's got to shave that thing.
Coach hair in the Big 12 is a bit off the swivel right now.
It is. Nice to see West Virginia rushing really well and focusing on that. Skylar Howard, another predictably efficient day through the air. You could argue pretty much perfect. And Dakeel Shorts and Sheldon Gibson continue to be multiple weapons. Good for Dana Holgorsen and his staff. They continue to recruit excellent and develop excellent skill talent.
All right. Before we move forward, let's pay some bills here.
Yep.
SeatGeek is by far the smartest, easiest way to find tickets. You want to go to a game. You got two good weeks of games coming up now where if you want to go see a team play, probably some value buys out here, I would think.
Oh, yeah.
They can help get you in up close and personal. Nothing like it. Being in the stadium, see your teams play in person, and now, thankfully, with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get guaranteed seats that you want for a really good price. We've talked about it ad nauseum. Not only do you and I check SeatGeek regularly just to see what's out there, but we do have Verballers who tweet in, let us know that SeatGeek is working out for them just fine. The cool feature is they help you get the most bang for your buck. Every ticket on their site is graded based on value.
Yeah.
So immediately you're going to see where you could find an underpriced seat. And immediately, if it's something that fits your budget, you can just hit a few buttons and click to get it. Every ticket on the site is backed by a 100% guarantee. So you can shop with confidence. Know that the ticket you're getting is something that's, you know, not on the DL. It's true. All good. We've used it. People out there have used it. People really seem to like it. Plus, right now, if you use the promo code SOLID, you can get a $20 rebate off your very first SeatGeek purchase. So the way it works, basically, is you download the app, SeatGeek. It's free. You go into settings and you add the promo code SOLID, S-O-L-I-D. After you make your first ticket purchase, they're going to send you $20. $20 rebate. So it's as straightforward as they come. Free app. The promo code is SOLID. 2 weeks now. I'm saying this again. 2 weeks worth of games. If your team is playing, there aren't a whole lot of great games on the slate. Use SeatGeek. Check out how they're grading the seats. My hunch is that there are some value buys out there if you want to go see a football game. So go do it. SeatGeek.
Do it.
All right. Where are we going next?
Let's go to the ACC.
Let's go to the ACC, Dan.
We can get through this one pretty quickly.
Clemson won big. Lamar Jackson had 7 touchdowns.
Yep. I should mention Deshaun Watson had apparently not so serious shoulder injury. Dabo Swinney called it a stinger, but they shut out Clemson, and Clemson, a really nice day.
Virginia Tech won by 3. Florida State won by 4.
Florida State needed a late comeback. Virginia Tech almost got comeback on by Duke at home Duke at home, not Virginia Tech at home, but Virginia Tech moves 7-2. They are 5-1. In the ACC, Gerard Evans had, his day was fine, nothing too special, but he was good on the ground as well. So sort of taking them on his back, the Hokies on his back, and survive an advance game, I guess.
Let me interject.
Please.
Gerard Evans was fine. He was no Daniel Jones.
No Daniel Jones.
Bruce Feldman has been chirping about Daniel Jones all year.
Bruce Feldman has his guys.
Ever since the beginning of the season, he was chirping about Daniel Jones. It is easy to see why people like Daniel Jones. He's a freshman. He's got a coach in David Cutcliffe who knows how to develop quarterbacks. And he basically brought Duke back single-handedly in this game. He's going to be really exciting to watch as he develops. So I'm excited to see him. I am excited, though, in the short term to see what Virginia Tech does. They've been one of those stories that have been fun to follow so far this season. They've been playing real well. They've got themselves in optimal position to get to
soft end schedule.
Yeah, to play against Clemson in that ACC title game. You mentioned FSU with the late comeback. Very quickly, talk here about North Carolina. And their big second half, nice to see them getting their ground game going a little bit with Elijah Hood.
Mitch Trubisky, very efficient, yep.
Miami wins by 23 over Pitt. Ooh. Pitt's defense right now could use a good defensive coordinator like Pat Narduzzi, right?
I really think if they could afford Pat Narduzzi, you could see them going places. Nate Peterman, sort of an up and down day. They were not able to get anything going on the ground offensively. And defensively, Mark Walton ran all over them. Richards just kept getting free. A nice bounce back for Miami after losing, 4 straight after starting out 4-0? Nice position for the Hurricanes. Hopefully they can finish out their schedule in a relatively strong fashion. They don't have much in the way that looks very dangerous right now. It's Virginia, NC State on the road, and they finish with Duke at home.
Wake beat UVA 27-20, and I'm just going to go ahead and lump this one in there, Dan.
Sir, bowl eligible.
Oh!
Wake Forest.
Good for them. Here, I'm clapping.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's clap. Let's give them a clap there. Good for them.
Yep.
And I'm going to lump this one in. Navy, 28 against potentially bowl eligible Notre Dame, 27. What are you playing? What is that?
This is the Village People, Ty. In the Navy.
Stop it.
This song has already gone on.
Why are you dancing on my grave?
The song has gone on for 18 seconds, which is three times the number of possessions that Notre Dame had in this game.
Unbelievable. They had six total possessions. They scored on five of them.
Yes.
But four possessions in the first half, two in the second. Navy, suffice to say, took the air out of the ball. Notre Dame's defense couldn't get off the field, and they had more woes on special teams. And that was all she wrote. That was all she wrote here.
Yeah, our friend Bruce Feldman tweeted out this week, quite the turnaround for Notre Dame's defense, which they played a number of bad teams, kind of, since, what's his name, Greg Hudson?
Yes.
Or Hansen? I don't know his name. Took over for BVG. They did not get off the field all that well.
They didn't get off the field. The defense has still been better. It has been better.
Defense has 100% been better, yes.
Whether it's been against bad teams or good teams, that really didn't stop Notre Dame in the early part of the season from just playing poorly on defense.
Notre Dame moves to what now overall?
Notre Dame has six losses, Dan.
So their record is
3-6.
Hold on, I want to get to the... There it is. Okay.
You're a jerk.
Ty, I'm allowed to say things like that because my team is also bad.
Yeah, let's talk about the Pac-12. Let's go Pac-12. Start with Oregon. Lost by 25 to... USC, I saw a tweet here from Darren Ravel, of all sources, that Phil Knight would be willing to pay $10 million a year for a new coach. Sure. He's getting older, wants to see a title. Okay, great. Fine and dandy.
Yeah. You know, that name that we trust so much to break college football news.
Right. You're plugged into Oregon.
Yeah.
What's going on? Are they going to fire Helfrich? Are they going to bring someone else in?
With games like this, it gets closer. From everything I've heard, that they don't want to fire Helfrich. It is not a decision that they are going to make in a snap way. Helfrich has been there for a while. He runs the type of system that Oregon has succeeded with for a long time. He has recruited sort of in a disappointing way defensively, but he's recruited a ton of skill talent there. It looks like they have a quarterback of the future. In this specific game, and in looking this uneven and uninspired at times, it gets him closer to finding his way out. USC was up 45-13. It was a late garbage time touchdown that made it 45-20. Justin Herbert was good, but they relied on a number of swing passes and screens. He had a couple of bad drops downfield. But Oregon's defense, actually, after they fell down 17-0, I believe, they held strong. They forced a ton of punts in a row. The offense just could not get anything going on the ground. Justin Herbert was constantly under pressure by the USC defense. And I'm a little bit worried about USC's offensive line, but Sam Darnold is a good enough quarterback and actually reminded me, Ty, I don't know if you watched any of this game, just because of my specific experience watching Oregon football, he is a little bit of, doesn't have the downfield cannon, but in the way he plays, a little bit of Cardale Jones to him.
Yeah.
Athleticism, buys time, you can never bring him down, is athletic enough to keep making plays even when everything gets dirty. Ronald Jones is another, falls under the Saquon Barkley category of, there are so many good running backs that Ronald Jones has to be considered one of the best 10 or 12 running backs in the country at this point. And USC has done a fantastic job turning around their season after starting out in such a sloppy way, starting out 1-3 with losses to Stanford and a horrific loss to Alabama. They're now going to be part of the game day game this week at Seattle, traveling to play against Washington, and they finish out with a horrifically disappointing UCLA and a horrifically disappointing Notre Dame.
They should win both those games right now.
They should indeed. I would still say there's probably a 40% chance Helfrich is back with some sort of adjusted staff, which sounds dirtier than I implied.
Interesting.
Than I wanted it to. But I would imagine that the groundswell of support for moving on from Helfrich is gaining steam today.
I would imagine so as well. Okay, Washington 66, Cal 27, Washington State 69,
ooh,
Arizona 7, Dan. Ooh. Two impressive showings here. In terms of quarterback play, Jake Browning, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions. Luke Falk only missed 3 passes. He had 4 touchdowns. He actually got pulled, gave way to a freshman who came in and only missed 2 passes.
47 of 52 for 9 yards an attempt and 6 touchdowns, no picks. What the hell, Arizona?
Washington, it'll be interesting to see. Would not at all surprise me if they were jumped by Ohio State. I would imagine that would cause more uproar. Again, we're just 10 weeks through. You'd imagine, all things being equal, if Washington runs the table, they're going to be fine. They're going to be in there at the number 4 slot. But seeing as how the playoff committee likes to give folks stuff to talk about, I would bet my bottom dollar on Ohio State jumping them at this point.
At this point, yes, although it'll be a nice win if Washington can get by USC. And Stanford is bowl eligible for all their struggles. They're 6-3, still a disappointing year. And we have neglected to mention, and it does not deserve a lot of talk, but UCLA fell to Colorado 20-10. I believe they scored a touchdown really early and then shut out of the end zone for three quarters. An extraordinarily ugly game.
Don't bury the lead here, man. Yeah.
I was going to say.
Colorado had 8 personal fouls. There were 25 total penalties, 225 penalty yards, 2 block kicks, and 5 turnovers.
It was extraordinarily ugly. Yeah, 25 total penalties for well over 200 yards combined. It was sort of silly at a certain point, but Seifo Lufau found a way, even with throwing his first pick in a long time, to get things done. And here is something that I thought was really interesting. I was reading Bruins Nation, our UCLA community on SB Nation. Jim Mora and Carl Durrell now have the exact same record in conference.
Whoa.
They are both, I believe, 24-18 in the Pac-10/12.
What do you think of Jim Mora?
I think Jim Mora has, first of all, Jim Mora is now playing with his own players fully.
Yeah.
And granted, the Josh Rosen thing hurts, but UCLA should have a couple decent quarterbacks. That's just, being in Southern California, you should have a couple decent enough quarterbacks. And the UCLA defense has been mostly fine. The Utah game was ugly on the ground, obviously, but outside of that, they've been pretty impressive. I imagine Jim Mora is back next year, but we should start talking about Jim Mora a little bit, about what is going to happen with him at UCLA.
Yeah, I agree.
That offensive change with Kennedy Polamalu, to go to that power eye pro style,
yeah,
has been a complete and utter failure.
Also, Stanford did win, but they didn't cover, which means my reverse jinx worked.
True.
So I'm still accepting applications. Next week, I'm going full opposite. Full opposite. Every initial instinct, we're going in complete opposite. Because had I not done so in that Iowa-Penn State game where I just couldn't do it, couldn't bring myself to go opposite, I'd have been 4-0 in our big games.
True. See? Come on, Ty.
I'd have been 5-0 if you count this one. So I'm going to go complete opposite.
All right, you want to run through some other games?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just of interest, I joked about Western Michigan, but it's not funny that Western Michigan's really good. PJ Fleck is going to get, either this year or next year, I would assume probably in the Midwest, and probably not a huge national job yet, but he should be getting a Power 5 job sooner or later. They move to 9-0. The Broncos do, as they beat Ball State. Bowling Green has completely fallen off a cliff. They have not won a conference game yet after really looking good under Dino Babers last year. They lose to Northern Illinois. My boy Logan Woodside, the official Mac quarterback of the Solid Verbal.
Holy Toledo.
Another huge game as they beat Akron. Toledo beats Akron. Arkansas State. You might laugh a little bit because they're sort of off the radar Sun Belt team. They're pretty good. I like the job that Blake Anderson has done there. They're yet to lose a Sun Belt game. I also like the job that Troy and the Trojans have done. We saw them test Clemson. Yes?
Correct.
Temple moves to 5-1 in the American. Another big game for Ryquell Armstead. We ride with Ryquell Armstead, Ty.
We do. Hold on.
You know we do. They shut out Bob Diaco.
That's right. We ride.
They shut out the Fighting Diacos in Connecticut. So that's a nice, impressive thing to do as we look at Matt Rhule and potential openings. I mean, what he's done at Temple.
Yeah. All right.
Should not be discounted. I'm not sure where Matt Rhule is.
Are you getting a cut from Matt Rhule?
I love Matt Rhule. I do not get a cut. We sort of talked about it briefly, but the Auburn win over Vandy. Weirdness with Sean White coming in the second half and looking really good and not playing in the first half because of, quote, an injury. Mm. I am a bit of a conspiracy theorist on this.
Okay.
But Vandy played really well in the first half, but unfortunately, Cam Petway exists, and that is troublesome for everybody.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, I saw that Army lost. Mm. Which will make next week that much. They're playing Notre Dame next week?
Yep.
Yeah.
In San Antonio, a classic college football venue, just like Jacksonville, where they played and lost against Navy.
That's where you gotta play. You gotta play in San Antonio. Indiana moves to 5-4 with their win over Rutgers, barely. We did sort of gloss over Illinois, Michigan State, but my goodness, good for you, Illinois. Holding on.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
What's going on in the SEC East now? Who's going to win that? Because we did cover pretty much all the other action, but we didn't talk about Georgia beating Kentucky by 3. We didn't talk about South Carolina beating Mizzou by 10. We didn't talk about Tennessee Tech because it's a game against Tennessee Tech.
Right.
And also Ole Miss beat Georgia Southern by 10. But the SEC East is sort of a raging tire fire at this point. And as we did mention, however improbable, there is a scenario whereby South Carolina could actually win that division. So what are your thoughts about SEC East?
It's the worst division of any Power 5 conference division, right?
I think so. I was trying to grade it out.
Right.
Just in my head. And, you know, if you're ranking sides of conferences, obviously the Big Ten East is up there, SEC West, ACC Atlantic. Those are the three that really bubble up to the surface. But, you know, I think Pac-12 North, Pac-12 South kind of on level footing. Obviously the North a little bit higher of a high. But, you know, even the ACC Coastal, even the Big Ten West, I put all those over the SEC East. The SEC East is just a disaster.
Yeah, we've got a South Carolina team that has shown flashes, but has also shown flashes of being bad. Georgia's offense, especially up front, has been wildly disappointing, especially given the running backs they have available to them. Kentucky has been fine, but they shouldn't be competing with schools with talent like Florida and Tennessee, and Georgia have at a number of places. Vandy's had a really nice defensive year, but they can't get much going offensively. Mizzou is yet to win an SEC game. It is a mess. The fact that Florida can not score a touchdown, rush for 12 yards on 14 carries, and still control the division is not a great look, Ty.
The only other thing that I think we need to mention here.
Wyoming, man. Wyoming, undefeated, Mountain West.
Next Oregon coach, Craig Bull. Head fits inside
God willing,
the O.
Ty. God willing.
One other topic we need to touch on here, and I saved it purposely for the dying embers of our show. Did you see what Cal did with Marshawn Lynch?
Oh my goodness, yes. Well, I've got one other thing, but yes, wonderful moment.
Here's the deal. It was like the 10-year anniversary, I think.
Yes, of the cart. The overtime the win against Washington cart. Yeah.
Where he drove the cart around. They steered fully into it, no pun intended. Honored it as well it should be honored. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of talk in sports media circles and football circles about how the NFL is losing ratings.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of the reason why. College football celebrates things like this.
Steers into it.
They steer into it. They play with it. They have fun with it. They let other people have fun with it. Pro football, if this had happened, that guy would have been kicked out of the league.
It's also a bad product.
Granted, they may be scamming players out of earning a living, but
sure.
That's a separate topic for a separate day. Mm-hmm. It's fun to see stuff like this still exist in college football. I think probably about that Marshawn Lynch thing about 8 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that Cal does too. So that was cool to see.
Less fun, Tommy Tuberville Saturday. Telling a heckling BYU fan to go to hell and to get a job.
Yeah.
Thomas Tuberville may himself be looking for a new job in the not-so-distant future.
Yeah, he's not going to be there next year.
Boise State won in sort of a maddening way. But Jeremy McNichols, another one of those really good running backs that is just lumped together with everybody else, but having a fantastic season.
Jeremy McNichols is going to be a good third down back in the NFL.
And, of course, Donnell Pumphrey, another 100-yard game as San Diego State shellacks Hawaii.
All right.
Hey, and ODU, bowl eligible in their third year in FBS.
Old Dominion, baby.
That's everything I got, Ty.
All right, Dan. Well, fun show.
Absolutely.
Please do tune in on Wednesday. We'll have fun on Wednesday. Wednesday's going to be one of them fun shows because you look at the slate, not a lot of great games to discuss here, so we can really give ourselves some room to explore the studio space.
Agreed. So you had a good time at the Lehigh game.
Lehigh game was a ton of fun. And if I'm being honest, I kind of preferred that atmosphere to some of the big, like, 128,000 seat venues, whatever we have in college football. It was a lot of fun.
Sundress is probably not as out and
not,
about.
No, not as vibrant a sundress scene, but that's only because it was a bit brisk. Nice fall day, but a little brisk.
Did you have anything good to eat all day?
I did have a grilled cheese sandwich.
What kind of cheese?
I think it was American, but they put tomato on there.
Oh, gross.
Which was good. I know you love tomato. Ugh. And had some fries. Yeah, it was a good day for a game. Did a little tailgating.
What kind of bread?
I believe it was just white bread. White sourdough bread.
Okay, sourdough's good.
It was actually a good game to watch. It was a good game to watch, and because the stadium is so quaint, and you can sit mm-hmm. wherever you want, you got a chance to kind of watch the players interact on the sidelines and see how things were developing just from a schematic standpoint in ways that you typically wouldn't if you're at a bigger college venue and mm-hmm. you're not sitting up in the press box. When you consider the fact that you root for Oregon and I root for Notre Dame, and on top of that, Penn State's not going to be anywhere near the playoff, right. Lehigh is probably our only hope.
Do you have, so you have Penn State as like your Power Five team that you can justifiably root for with Notre Dame having
totally
a down year. I don't have that team. I just sort of watched college football games growing up. Like I wasn't a huge, I liked UCLA, USC was fine, but neither of my parents went there or close relatives went to one of the LA schools. So I'm trying to figure out if there is a team that I can just sort of casually, not root for and align myself with, but just hope good things for. I think it's Wyoming.
Wyoming?
I think it's Wyoming. I think it is the Cowboys. My college roommate's dad went there, which I like him. I like Craig Bull. I like their ugly-ass uniforms. They're so bad, the brown and yellow. It's a bit of a bummer that Dick Cheney's at some of their games. But otherwise, I think I'm going Wyoming. I think I'm just all in on the Mountain West.
All right. Well, this has been a fun show. Thank you.
That's where I am now, Ty.
Thank you to everybody who called in 408-VERBAL-1, 408-837-2251. Don't forget to like the Facebook page and follow the Facebook page. Any ratings mm-hmm. or reviews that you want to post there or out on iTunes.com/solidverbal. All that stuff really helps. Can't say it enough. It really, truly does help.
Yes.
Helps us spread the word. Don't forget we're on Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat. Got a bunch of cool snaps. Had one from...
What were the snaps?
Had one from Corpus Christi, Texas, from a gentleman okay. named Andrew who was at a brand new concert.
Oh, that's cool. No sexy shots coming through on Snapchat?
No sexy shots yet.
Man,
no.
That's disappointing.
No.
I'm not gonna out and out ask, but I just figured at some point we get some sexy shots.
No, not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. I've been checking though.
Okay, I'm sure you have been.
For that guy over there, Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrand. Enjoy your week. We will talk to you on Wednesday. Stay solid.
Peace.